Let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, to that passage that Jack just read for us. Like many of you, I grew up singing an old song entitled A Beautiful Life. Did you ever sing that in church? It begins with those words, "Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need." This morning, we've already left those first tracks in the snow of time in the year 2017. We've got a clean slate before us, a fresh start, a new year. And over the next few Sunday mornings during our lesson time, we're going to be focusing on the place of good works, golden deeds, in the life of every follower of Jesus Christ. I want to acknowledge an author that sort of helped us with this idea. Mike O'Neill wrote a little book just this last year entitled Created for Good Deeds. Now, we can and should be fearful of placing too much emphasis on our own good works, especially as we look towards achievement of our salvation. Scripture is clear in the passage that was just read for us that we are saved by the grace of God. It is His gift to us. But Scripture is also very clear that while we are saved by grace, we are saved for good works. Too many view religion as a commodity to be consumed rather than as a place in which we invest ourselves. So listen again to the words of this passage as we begin. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know, there are a lot of churches, a lot of gatherings, and you may have been part of these in your past, I know I have been, where the vast majority of time is spent with an inward focus. And it's all about us and our Bible study and our worship service and all that we do within the confines of this building. And we never get around to getting out and serving the people who most need to hear the good news about Jesus. Jesus is described in Scripture as one who went about doing good. He himself offered this self-description. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And that was borne out in all of his actions. In Acts chapter 9, we read about the death of one of the Christians in the church there. And her name was Tabitha. And she was one who was a seamstress. And she made clothing and gave out clothing to the poor and to widows in her community. And there, just before she was raised from the dead by Peter, that morning group of friends made this statement: she was always doing good and helping the poor. And Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2, and he talked about that group that comprises the church, and he says that Jesus came to purify for himself a people that are his very own, who are eager to do good works. It's all through Scripture. And we'll see that more and more over these next few weeks. Again and again, we are described as a people who are designed as God's, as the followers of Jesus, as God's children, to be involved in good works, doing good things for those who are in need. You know, it's only natural, when we have been recipients of the rich grace of God, that we in turn show our gratitude by giving to others as God has given to us. There's a picture I saw on the internet. We all see all kinds of things on the internet today that we never saw before. This was really encouraging. It was a note on the windshield of an old pickup truck. And that note was there, and it simply said this: "You don't know me, but I saw that you needed some new tires for your truck, and I wanted to do something nice for a stranger, because one day a stranger did the same thing for me. The receipt is in the envelope," and that was under the note, "is in the envelope, and all you have to do is go by Warehouse Tire on 3rd Street and ask for Stephen Hodges. They will put them on for free. All I ask is that one day you do something nice for a complete stranger." This church has been filled with servants who have risen to needs within this church family. I doubt that there's a single person here who has not been a recipient of multiple deeds of kindness shown to you by your brothers and sisters in this church family. We can't even begin to count the number of things that have been done, the kindnesses that have been shown. The fruit of the Spirit, one of those is kindness that has been shown in so many ways. How many funeral meals do you think have been served, either here in this building or taken to people's homes? How many cards have gone out with words of encouragement and hope and comfort? How many visits have been made in nursing homes and in homes and the hospital rooms? How many holiday baskets have gone out into the homes of our shut-ins? How many people have been picked up by our church vans, bringing people to worship services who otherwise can't make it here on their own? How many have served on our work days that we've had? How many teens have raked leaves for widows in this congregation? And we have those who serve every week, year in and year out, in our children's classes, teaching faithfully. And clothing needs are provided in our exchange program here in the congregation. And we have those who work diligently with our little youth group and with our older youth group. In the last few years, we've begun a ministry to college students. That's the prime age at which young Christians drop out of church. And what an encouragement to see that large group, that growing group of college-age students who are together as a group and holding on to their faith and growing in their faith. And how often have things been planned for the sunsetters in this congregation? How many families here have been snatched from the fire in times of financial distress? How many churches have been ministered to who've been impacted by tornadoes or floods around our nation through the generous donation of this church? Now, we've done an amazing job, I believe. And I look back over the years and see how we have demonstrated love for one another in these ways. And we have grown tremendously in our outreach right here in the community, especially in the last few years. Our ladies' sewing group has multiple avenues of outreach: local hospital, children's homes, those who have been victims of fires. Our food pantry regularly feeds people in our community who are going through very difficult times, many of them single mothers with families. And food is delivered and people come by, and the doors are always open to care for people like that. And we have given again and again to families in need. We've targeted schools in our area. Parkview School this year was the recipient of an unbelievable number of Christmas gifts for families that otherwise would not have had a Christmas. And the joy of those who made those deliveries, and the joy of all of you who participated in providing gifts for these families who are in need. And we have class projects at the mall, the gift wrap booth, and our classes man that for a local charity. And we have groups that get out here in the summertime and clean up South Creek. And in the past, we've done home improvements in our community and served at Ronald McDonald House. We've had the Parkview football team in here to encourage them and the blessing that they have of Coach Klein and his influence over that team. We've got folks that go down and serve food on Commercial Street to the homeless. And we've started at Holland School now, and we're going to have our aftercare program. And we have a booklet here that has gotten thicker and thicker through the years. And it's entitled Ministry Opportunities at Sunset. And all the opportunities are cataloged here of ways people can be involved in serving others, being a blessing within this church family, and also to those who do not know Jesus Christ. We can't even begin to list them all. And besides these things that are known, there are thousands of deeds that will never be known except to God alone. And He sees everything, even something as seemingly insignificant as offering a cup of cold water to one who is thirsty. Over these next weeks, we're going to be showcasing some of the opportunities we have. And one of the things that we talk about in this congregation repeatedly is the need for us to be a church in which there is every member ministry. Everybody can do something. We can't all do everything, but everybody can do something. And the opportunities are there where we can be involved in good works, which ultimately will bring glory to God. That's the end of the whole process, is that God will be glorified through the things that we do and the services that we offer. Now, I don't have to tell you this. All service requires sacrifice. I don't know how many times Vicki and I have said, you know, we ought to, and you fill in the blank, but we're tired, or it's cold, or there's a thousand reasons. And it's hard to go ahead and do the things that in your heart you want to do. You know, a lot of us just want to be involved in service on an advisory capacity. But it's hard to get out there and actually do the work and make the trips and help people in these various ways. And very often, our acts of service can be hard and seemingly thankless. I think that's why Paul wrote what he did to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." During the darkest days of World War II, London had been bombed repeatedly by the German Air Force. And every available man had enlisted and they were serving. But there was one group of men that Churchill appealed to. He says, "I don't want you in the service. I don't want you on the front lines. I want you to be in those coal mines in Wales," because they desperately needed coal to fuel the efforts of the war. And so this group of men stayed behind, and they stayed down in those dark coal mines doing that. And that was a very difficult thing for them to do. You see, they didn't wear the uniform that the others did on the streets. And people looked at them questioning, "What are you doing for the service, for the nation?" And so Churchill spoke to the coal miners in the midst of that dark period. Those involved in a thankless job, there wasn't much glory in what they did. But he asked these men, he said, "I want you to imagine the day that will come when we prevail. And there will be a big parade. And in that parade will come all those who have served in the war. And they'll be honored in that parade." And he says, "First will come the sailors who kept the sea lanes open during the war years. And then will come the soldiers who came home from Dunkirk and then went on to North Africa to defeat Rommel. And then will come the pilots who drove the Luftwaffe from the skies over Britain. And then he says, last of all, I want you to imagine yourselves a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. And someone will cry from the crowd, and where were you during the critical days of our struggle? And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, we were the men who were deep in the earth with our faces to the cold. And let me just say, in this church, we have a lot of high-profile ministries that are recognized and seen. But there are many more of you who have served faithfully with your faces to the cold. And you may have never had an elder or a preacher or a deacon come up to you and say, thank you for what you're doing. But let me tell you, God sees and knows every deed of kindness ever offered, every good work that's ever been done by every member of this church family. I simply wanted to challenge us as a congregation in the year 2017, especially as we begin this year and talk about doing good deeds and volunteering and helping in these areas, to be creative in doing things that will ultimately bring honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me just throw a couple of things out here. I saw a sign in a dry cleaner's shop. Now, not everyone can do this because we don't all own a dry cleaner shop, but this man did this. He had a cardboard sign in his window, and it simply said, if you are unemployed and need a clean outfit for an interview, we will clean it free of charge. What a wonderful gift to someone who's down. For those of you who have an affectionate relationship with an animal, with your dog or your cat, I saw this. It was a basket that was put at a boardwalk entrance to a public beach. And in that basket, there were about a dozen old tennis balls in there. And there was a sign that said, in memory of Phoebe, help yourself to a tennis ball for your dog to enjoy. Remember to live each day just like your dog, with unconditional love, loyalty, and happiness. Thoughtfulness, little things in life that will brighten someone's day, and someone may see you do these things, and someone may take note of that. God has a way of allowing His light to shine upon things that you're not doing for your own glory, but that will ultimately result in His own. You know, we often talk about how difficult it is to evangelize. And we've had workshop after workshop here teaching us how to share the gospel with others. Let me tell you the natural way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It begins with service. If we'll simply follow the example of Jesus, He began with service. The very first thing He did in His ministry was go up to Cana of Galilee and rescue an embarrassed family who ran out of wine. And He served. Again and again, He served, and then He shared the good news of the kingdom of God. And people who have been served at our hands are much more likely to listen to the words that we have to say. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our end goal in all we do. So when we serve, we're not just doing it for someone who is a difficult person that needs help or someone who's not always great. We're doing it for God. And that changes the whole ability and the motivation to do the good deeds that we do. But be sure you make the connection. You know, it's always easier when good deeds are done through the church because God automatically gets the credit. The harder time is when we do them individually, because if we're not careful, we get the credit and we get the glory for the things that we do that are not associated as part of our church outreach. Make the connection as a Christian. Don't claim the credit for yourself. Point to the one who blessed you as your motive for doing every good deed that you do. One more time. Look at that verse. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. As we close this morning, we're going to sing that old song that most of us have been singing all of our lives, that most of us know very well. It's called A Beautiful Life. And I want you to notice the words in this song, because it's really a pledge. Those words that we'll be singing are words of commitment. And you may not have already made any New Year's resolutions. And you don't have to sing these words this morning. But if you do, I hope that you will honor what you're singing to God and to one another by following through with the words that are being expressed. And my prayer is that this family of believers will impact this community and one another in ways that we never have before, and that our light will shine for God in the year 2017. If we can serve you now in any way, we want you to be sure and let your needs be known this morning. Before we leave, we'll assist you if you're ready to obey the gospel. We'll assist you if you need prayers. We'll pray for you. But I pray that most of all this morning, that we will make a commitment to God, that we will serve Him through our good deeds in the year to come. Won't you come if you need to as we stand and sing?